This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 53. And on this episode, we are talking with my friend Corey Huff about how to market yourself like an artist. For you creatives out there, you deep thinkers, those of you who think marketing is a scary word, stay tuned because this episode is for you. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. Hey there, welcome to another exciting episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. And I am pretty stoked about this episode because I feel like it's been so long since we've had a guest on the show. Now, my guest today is Corey Huff, founder of The Abundant Artist, and he works with creatives and artists to help them make more money selling their art. Now, I was really excited to get Corey on today because so much of what we see in the online space, I think there's this perception that it's all teaching marketing to marketers. And I love that Corey helps people in business who are really selling something that is purely for enjoyment, right? An artist only has one end product, their art. They're not doing coaching or consulting. And I thought that this was such an amazing opportunity to go a little different with this episode. So I warn you now, this episode's a little bit different than what we usually do, but I think it's really insightful because we're going to talk about how do you market yourself like an artist? What does it take to have that full creative growth and self-love almost in your business to really enjoy the creative process? For those of us who were creators, we like to create, whether that's creating social media images or acrylic paintings. And I think that Corey and I really get into this. And something that I want to really encourage you to lean in and listen to is talking about the story. And about halfway through this interview, we really get into understanding that it's really not about what you sell. It's about how you interact with the market, the world, and your story. And so I won't give away too much. I will simply introduce you to Mr. Corey Huff. Hey, Corey, thank you so much for being on the show today. I am so excited to have you.
Thanks so much for having me, Zach. It's great to talk to you again.
Well, I'm really excited to have you here to talk about so many different things. I mean, we're going to talk about, you know, having a course in a niche market. I love that you have meaning beyond just the revenue in your business. But before I lose my mind and dive into all that good stuff, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and all that good stuff for the people who might not have heard of The Abundant Artist before?
Sure, absolutely. So I run theabundantartist.com, which I started out of a passionate interest in understanding how creative people can find funding and make money from their creative, passionate pursuits. I graduated with a degree in theater myself, and all of my friends were actors and performers. So I started looking around and saying, well, how do creative people make a living doing this stuff? And back in 2009, I started The Abundant Artist as a side project blog while I was working at a day job in internet marketing. And kind of one thing led to another. And I started helping all my creative friends figure out how to get people out to their shows and how to sell their stuff. And people started asking me to teach courses. And here we are 8 years later. And The Abundant Artist, we now run a membership website with about 19,000 members, primarily focused on visual art. So painters, sculptors, stuff like that. And we've had thousands of artists come through our courses, learn how to sell their work online. And I have a book published with HarperCollins called How to Sell Your Art Online. So I've sort of become an expert in selling art and creative stuff on the internet.
That's awesome. Now, one of the things that I really love and one of the reasons that I jumped at the opportunity to have you on the show is that I think that there's this kind of belief out there right now, especially in the internet marketing space, that like the only way to sell courses is to teach people more marketing or teach people who are marketers. And I love that your potential market is people who are creatives. And I even wrote down before we started talking that you really help people who are creatives at heart stick to that creativity and still be able to market themselves. So can you talk to us a little bit about that, about not only having a course that serves that kind of audience, but also what do people who are listening, no matter what market they're in, who really consider themselves creatives, what are some of the things they need to know to really start marketing themselves and getting out there?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. When I first started doing this, when people first started asking me to teach courses, what they were asking for was marketing help. right? They were like, how do I sell my stuff? And one of the things that I discovered pretty quickly was that a lot of creative people are, it's not that they need help with the nuts and bolts of marketing. They don't need to know how to like create a great Instagram post or how to, you know, run Facebook ads or anything like that. Most of what they need to know is how to tell a good story about whatever creative thing they're doing. The creative process is really interesting. A lot of artists and other creative people, they go down these rabbit holes of creating something just because it comes out of them in that way. And then when they say, hey, look, I made this thing, a lot of times people go, oh, I don't know what that means, or I don't understand what that is. And so they might need a little bit of help, like massaging their story so that people understand what it's all about, so they can create an emotional connection with that art. And sometimes, you know, people see a piece of art or a new creative project and they just instantly fall in love with it. But a lot of times, just like marketing in any other industry, we need to be exposed to it a few times. We need to know a little bit more about it. And so a lot of our coursework and a lot of the work that I do with artists revolves around learning how to tell stories, taking whatever creative thing you do and understanding for yourself what's at the heart of it so that you can understand how to tell other people. And it's kind of hard. Like if you're a creative person and you're listening to me right now, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. But if you're not an artist, it might be kind of weird to hear that people don't understand how to talk about something that they've created, but that's the way the creative process happens.
No, I like that. I think that makes an absolute ton of sense. I mean, I think we talked about this when we met, which is like, I am a total creative at heart. And I think there's something so key you said there that I'd really love to dive a little bit deeper on, which is a lot of times creatives, whether it's creatives that are artists, creatives that are in the marketing space, people who consider themselves just creative marketers in, you know, every space, whether it's dating or weight loss or whatever, we do go down that rabbit hole of like, well, I created this thing, now what? So how do you kind of deal with that? Like, is that something we should be doing? Should we be creating for the sake of creating when it comes to our business?
I think that there is a lot of value in creating for the sake of creation. A lot of the literature and a lot of the stuff that's out there about entrepreneurship talks about putting the customer first and talks about sort of the nuts and bolts of marketing, which you do need to understand your customers and you do need to understand how to talk to them. But there is so much value in creating for yourself. And I think that's why so many different course creators like you and me and others can thrive, because what we create that comes out of us will resonate with different audiences in different ways. And somebody who connects with you, Zach, might not necessarily connect with me, because they have their own experiences and their own ways of being in the world. And when we create for ourselves and create something that makes us happy, it's going to resonate with different people in different ways and get different people excited. So I do think that there's a lot of value in just having an understanding of why you like to do what you do and feeling confident and good about that, so that other people who resonate with what you do can connect and you create an open space for that kind of community. And that's how really powerful, really strong communities are created.
I like that. And I would love to even go just a little bit deeper on this. We didn't really talk about this during the pre-interview, but I think this is just such a good topic that we've hit on here that'll weave in really well in a minute. But how do you balance this out? So what I'm kind of hearing from you is that there's almost these three key pillars, right, for creatives, which is you have to get into that creative process. You do have to tell a really great story, and then you have to get that marketing down. And I think what happens with, I think that a lot of people who are entrepreneurs relate to the word creative, because that creative brain is what makes us not want to be at a 9-to-5, not want to do the traditional stuff, definitely want to be different, be a little bit of the contrarianist in us. But how do you balance out creating for the sake of creating without, you know, becoming the starving artist? You know, that stereotype of you created, but what do you have to show for it?
Right. I think the best examples that I've seen of artists doing that are artists who create in conversation with their market or their community or however you want to say it. So most great art, the art that we think of as being really important in the world, actually comes from a conversation that the artist is having. And the artist might be having a conversation with other artists. They might be having a conversation with something that's happening in the world around them. You know, Picasso is maybe the most famous painter of all time. And he was very technically skilled. Like, he knew how to paint and draw really well by the time he was a teenager. His father was an art professor. But the thing that made him Picasso, the thing that made him such a legend, was he was interested in having a conversation with other artists about form and about geometry. He was saying, okay, like, we all kind of paint in this way, and we all know how to do this, but what if instead of continuing to do that, we instead deconstruct these images into different shapes and arrange them in a different way? What would happen if we did that? And then he and a handful of other artists all started experimenting with these different forms, and their paintings were a visual conversation happening between them to say, what would happen if we looked at the world in these different ways? And you see that happening over and over again with lots of different artists. Andy Warhol did it. He looked around and said, okay, I'm a painter. He was familiar with the commercial graphic design world because that's what he worked in before he became Andy Warhol. And he, you know, he created the Campbell soup paintings and some of his other early pop art as a way of saying, what is the difference between fine art and graphic design? And let's have a conversation about that. And so for a lot of artists, I think it becomes about, how can we have a conversation with some audience about this important thing that I want to explore through my art? And so for creative marketers, that can take lots of different forms. And I see the best creative marketers are having conversations with their audience about, you know, what are we really doing here and what are we really trying to accomplish? And it's not so much about, this is what I think you should do, is these are my ideas, let's have a conversation.
I love that. And I think that's something that we can really lean into regardless of what you're selling. And this is what got me so excited to have you on the show, is that I think that there's almost this other belief out there that the only way to create is purely to give the market what they want, which the marketer side of me is like, well, yeah, that is really important. But there's also, you can feed that creative part of your soul, so to speak, by getting your audience involved in the conversation.
Yeah, for me at least, it's a lot more fun to do it that way. I get stuck in my head if I start thinking about, okay, well, if I'm going to craft this course this way, or if I'm going to make this marketing message this way, if I get stuck and I'm like, I don't know what to say, or I don't know how to say this, I'll go to my audience and I'll say, you know, whether it's via email or Facebook or whatever, and I'll say, hey, you know, what are your questions about this thing? Or here's what I'm thinking about this upcoming course that we're going to do. You know, what questions do you have about it? And that conversation becomes the basis for creating something really special.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And can you talk a little bit about this? Because I can sense this kind of objection that I'm guessing you probably see sometimes, which is, we really encourage our audience to do the same thing, whether they're creative brained or marketer brained or a hybrid, that it is really important to pay attention to your audience and listen to them. But what's the kind of, maybe workaround is the best word I can think of, for people who are feeling like, well, if I have to listen to my audience or I have to do what other people are saying, that it's then restricting that creativity or that freedom that, you know, brings a lot of people in. I've heard that from some people in my audience, which is like, well, if I give my audience exactly what they're asking for, then it's something I don't love anymore. It feels like it's not almost my art anymore.
Right. Yeah. And that's where things are difficult. Like, that's the most challenging part of creating a really great course or a really great piece of art, is you do have to be in that conversation and you have to let that conversation inform what you do. But I think in the end, it does have to come from you. Right. I think you can give an audience what they're asking for or what they're looking, and where it becomes great art is where you give them that and you also give them something else. Maybe you also give them an additional challenge, or you give them an additional question. You maybe raise some questions they hadn't been thinking about. Everybody loves Hamilton. Hamilton's the hot musical right now. The idea of a hip hop musical about the founding fathers of the United States is such an absurd idea, you know, that when it started out, when it was first being workshopped, you know, it took Lin-Manuel Miranda 6 years to workshop that idea into something that eventually became Hamilton, right? And he wrote it, and then he tested it, and then he went back and he saw how his audience reacted to it. So then he went and rewrote some stuff, and then he went back and showed it to them. And it's an iterative process that he went through. And if you go on YouTube, you can find like these old videos of him performing bits and pieces of it over the years as he was evolving it and creating it. And it's really interesting to see that creative process. And it works just like that for online courses or whatever, right? Like, we've been running our How to Sell Your Art online course since 2009. and it's completely different now than it was back when I first started. I put together what I thought people wanted, what people told me they wanted back in 2009 when I first created the class. And then after I ran the class a couple times, people gave me feedback. I tweaked it, and I actually took a lot of stuff out because the feedback was it was very overwhelming. And then we changed some stuff, and we made it less about information and more about taking action and doing things rather than just learning things. And you just learn how to evolve that over time. I think it just takes a while.
I think what you said there is so key, which is it doesn't have to just be what they're asking for. And I guess like an analogy is, you know, let's say somebody wants to paint their house purple. Well, that doesn't mean it has to be this one type of purple. There's a million different shades out there. It also doesn't have to stay purple forever. They might want to change it again down the road. So it sounds like what you're saying is the key is to figure out what they want and serve that, and then allow that creative part of you to kind of serve them once they're in. That you have to almost be more of the stereotype of like art is pain and art is suffering and you have to do what you do until you find the perfect person to buy it is not quite true. It's more you have to meet people where they are. And once you build that initial trust, you can give them whatever kind of feeds your creative soul. Like if Lin-Manuel Miranda did another show, there's no doubt in my mind that it would sell out because he's built that audience based on what people are asking for.
Yeah, there is value in creating for yourself something that maybe you never talked to the market about, and it's just a pure expression of what's coming from within you. And that may or may not have commercial value. I think there is intrinsic personal value in creating something purely for yourself. But when we're talking about making a career, making a financial income from your art or whatever creative thing it is, there does have to be that conversation with the world around you. And personally, I think that the best art frequently comes from that conversation, from being in dialogue with the world around you. There is some great art that comes just purely as a form of self-expression, but I think most of the best of it comes from being in that conversation.
Yeah, and you know, I think that raises a really interesting question that I'd love to explore with you, which is, you know, for a little bit of backstory for those listening that don't know, I actually used to run a food blog and it was relatively successful. We were doing very well. You know, I had studied a little bit of food photography. Everything was going great. And I hit this point where it became like less about the self-expression and more about the marketing, and that kind of passion for it faded away. So do you have any kind of insight on that where like, where does it become, I guess, I don't want to say selling out because I don't really see it as selling out, but where is that line between maybe this should be self-expression and maybe this could be something that serves my soul when there's a dollar attached to it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know that there is a straightforward answer to that. I've run into that myself. You know, I have a lot of different interests. I perform on stage. I do Shakespeare and I do personal narrative storytelling. And I think that some things do need to remain a hobby or be reserved purely for self-expression. When we start attaching business to some of our creative outlets, it can kill the joy. So I think you have to try it and see whether or not you like it. And then you have to start also separating the outcome of something from your value of it or your self-worth. I see a lot of artists and creative people, they attach the financial outcome of their project to their own self-worth or their own creativity or ability as an artist. And they're two separate skills, right? Like there's the business skills, the sales skills, and then there's the creative skills. And you have to decide whether or not, if I were to just sum it up in one statement, I would say, if you don't get any joy from it, stop doing it.
I think that's so powerful. And I'm loving exploring this through the lens of art, really more than marketing. But there are so many parallels because what it really comes down to, whether, you know, it's art or it's a digital course or, I mean, heck, even if it's a supplement, is it's something that is feeding into the conversation in that space at large or even in a niche space, determining if it's something that makes you feel full or abundant or happy or satisfied, and then saying, how can I serve this market effectively? And yeah, that service can come in the form of a fine art print. It can come in the form of a course, but it really comes down to, I think what you said at the beginning, and I'd love to just kind of loop back to it, which is, okay, so we've really got the creative process, right? The big thing is, you know, make sure you're creating for the sake of creating, you're creating that conversation in the world, you're creating within the market that you want. And then once you kind of have almost like the, okay, I feel good, they feel good, then it comes down to the story. I love what you said, which is like people, I think you said something like, you know, it's about the story, that so many people get caught up in the product or the end game, but it really is about the story. And I think that's true, especially in art, but we see that in marketing. So talk to us a little bit about developing that story that feeds the creative part of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if we're talking about in the work that I do with the artists that I teach, our How to Sell Your Art Online 101 program, the first quarter of the program is all about, okay, understanding why are you making this thing? What is it that made you decide you were going to make these artistic choices? You know, what made you pick that color? What made you pick that media? What made you decide that you wanted to spend all of your time researching animals that don't conform to human gender expectations? It's just an artist that I was working with recently. What is it about that thing that interests you so much? And if you can figure out the answer to that question or those questions, then if you can explain it to yourself, you'll be able to explain it to others. And then the people who are interested in that thing, like the people who are interested in gender abnormalities in nature, or people who are interested in human gender nonconformity, might be interested in that kind of art. This is, I'm talking about her, so I'll just say Gwen Semel is the artist that I'm talking about. I just find her work so interesting and fascinating. So she talks about that a lot on her blog about gender expectations and female roles in society. And if you can communicate that that's why you're interested in this thing, then the people who have an interest in that will raise their hands and say, yeah, I'm interested in that. And then from there, you can figure out a way to whatever the product needs to be, whether it's a print or an original painting or whatever the form that product takes, you can figure out what your audience wants to purchase it in. But understanding for yourself why you're so interested will help you translate that into a story that other people will understand.
I love that. And I think I love that you have such a specific example. And if I can, I want to just kind of distill down to what I'm getting and maybe we can riff off that. But what it really sounds like is a lot of us get really fixated on the end result or what we're selling, but that's not why we're buying, right? And even if you look at what you're buying or what you're bringing into your home, it has a lot to do with emotional appeal or the way it makes you feel or the way it makes you perceive yourself or the world around you, which taps right back 100%. Into that conversation that we were talking about, having a conversation with the world. So instead of focusing solely on the end product, you know, in this case, a fine art print, yes, that's relevant. Yes, that matters. But it's the reason you're doing it that creates the community around you. So like for me, for example, you know, a big thing I talk about all the time is I just like having the ability to do whatever I want. Spend time with my dogs, go out on a date, do whatever I want for the sake of
Disney.
That's how I want to live my life. And that's the people I attract to me. So in this case with Gwen, she's selling products not because people necessarily love the color blue or the color purple, if those are in her work, even though they may be, and that might be part of it. They like it because of what it represents and the story and how it speaks to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's going to be some people in that audience who just want a painting of a giraffe, right?
Right.
Like they just want that painting. But the people pick her painting of the giraffe because of that story.
I think that's so smart. So for those of us who are saying like, because I love this, and we talked about this before, how cool I thought it would be to do an interview through the lens of like, let's talk about art instead of just marketing. And I love the way this is turning out. But so talk to us a little bit about like, okay, what are some things that we can do? I think this is a kind of a great spot to kind of start to wrap up. But for those who are listening and kind of nodding along saying like, this sounds great, this is what I'm missing. Like I'm not tapping into that creative process. I'm so busy looking at that end goal that I'm not creating a story and I'm not creating a conversation with my audience. So if those people who are listening, what can we start to do or how can we almost be more vulnerable, for lack of sounding like a buzzword junkie? How do we be more vulnerable in sharing our story with the world? What things make us more connectable, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was listening to one of your recent episodes with our mutual friend, Mariah Cause, And she talked about going out into communities on Reddit and Facebook groups and stuff and seeing what people are talking about and using that to collect copy and marketing language. I think you can also go and talk to people and say, hey, I'm thinking about creating this product, or I'm thinking about solving this problem. You know, what would make that exciting for you? And going into those communities and talking to people about that. One of the things we do, one of the exercises we do with our artists is I will encourage them to go into communities that are not art communities and talking to people about whatever the subject matter is of their painting, right? So say, for example, that you're an artist who paints waves and ocean scenery. Then maybe you go into like a Facebook group for people who live on the Oregon coast or people who are traveling to Oregon, and you just see what are people talking about and, you know, what made you want to go to Oregon and what made you want to, you know, spend time at Haystack Rock, and just having those conversations with people so that you understand what people are looking for and what those emotions are, because there's some, you know, we take vacations for some pretty emotionally powerful reasons. And as artists, we have an opportunity to tap into those emotions. And I think that that is true for just about any kind of product that we've created. A good product taps into some deep emotional wells, and we can take the time to talk to people and find out what that's all about. And then we can sort of pitch the idea of, you know, here's how I'm thinking about this, or here's how I'm approaching this, and seeing what people say. And you can have those qualitative conversations with people before you necessarily go pitch something.
I like that. So before we go into our wrap questions, I have one really simple question. I'm kind of in the back of my head going like, okay, I can remember me, if I'd been listening to this show back when I was in a more creative business, not that I don't consider my business now very creative, but a much more purely driven creative business, right? I think food blogging inherently is a little more creative than Facebook advertising. I'm okay admitting that. So one thing that I found that was really shocking to me is that I think around art or creatives, we have this conversation with ourselves that like almost that being the starving artist is part of the journey, or like that it's important to get that gratification. But I instantly found that when I was closing deals, like that, it's not that you need the external validation, but it's that knowing that your work is serving in the way you want it to really feeds that creative part of you. And I think we talked a little bit about that for some of us, like it won't. For some hobbies in your life, they should stay hobbies. But for those that are listening and saying like, yeah, but Corey, you know, like I do want to be creative, but you're totally pulling me in when you're talking about the story or the conversation. But then when you say things like research or feed their needs, that artist part of me feels like it's fading away. Do you find that with the artists you work with, that when they're able to actually get the art, whatever kind of art it is, into the hands of customers, does that create a new level of connection with their art and their audience?
100% it does. I think every single artist wishes for the validation of having somebody buy their work, because it means that somebody puts value into their work. They recognize that that artist has done something interesting or meaningful, right? I think that every artist should at least try to have the experience of selling their work so that they can see whether or not that validation matters to them. And I think for most artists, it does. It's just a matter of how much it matters. And I love seeing artists get super excited and jazzed about selling their work. It's really fun, and it's why I keep doing this.
I love that. The reason I asked that, just to put it into perspective for those listening, is that, I mean, I do, and I'm sure you see this, Corey, is that there is a lot of resistance when we move away from some of the creative stuff, like, you know, go out there, express yourself, into the more like, go read Reddit to see what people are saying. Like, there's this disconnect where we're like, oh no, that won't feed my soul. But it's sometimes taking like a temporary hit to your creative soul to feed the greater good of what ultimately makes you feel full.
Yeah.
So I think this has just been such a great interview, but I always like to wrap up with our big core questions. And I think that this is the perfect jumping off point. So for those listening, like, I think this is a listen twice, because we talked so conceptually today, which is a little different for this show, but I really like it because it's it's a lens of those of us who are saying, and I think we talked about this during the pre-interview, is like, the big takeaway for me is if you're selling non-marketing services or you're not in even a B2B space, you know, that's who Corey's audience is non-business to business artists for the most part. Like, you can still make money. You can still feed your soul and you can still be happy and make money that makes you happy. So I think this has just been absolutely wonderful. But before we go, we got to ask the good wrap-up question. So Corey, what does the word hustle mean to you as it applies to business?
Hustle to me just means doing like focused work. I'm not the guy that's going to spend 20 hours a day working on his business. I started The Abundant Artist because I wanted to help it started organically as people asking me to teach classes. And then I decided to do it because I saw an opportunity there. But I also have designed the business specifically so that I can have the flexibility to travel, to pursue my own personal creative interests, and then support my family. So for me, hustling is doing focused, effective work that will push me towards whatever my goal is.
I love that. And I think we've talked about this even a little bit too, is that we have a very similar definition. So for those that are listening and they're listening to this, for the creatives out there in every space, you know, what's one thing that they can do in the next week or so to really get some traction in their business or their art based on what we talked about today?
Right. So if you are an artist, a visual artist, a painter or sculptor or something like that, head on over to our website, theabundantartist.com. And if you click on the courses section, we have 3 free courses that are just essentially challenges, 5 to 8 day challenges that will show you either how to get your first sale or how to double your Instagram following. So those are some things that you could do in the next week or two to boost your business forward. If you are not an artist, but you still consider yourself a creative, I would encourage you to do what you and I were talking about, which is going and having a conversation with people and maybe sit with yourself for a little bit, for an hour or two, with a notebook or a sketch pad or something, and just say, if I were going to do this business that I'm working on in a way that made sense to me and not in a way that everybody else is telling me to do, I would do, and whatever comes out of you is it. Because I think that our inner creatives have a voice that we often that is easy to reject or ignore when we're trying to learn from the gurus.
I think that is such a powerful exercise, and I don't want to steal your thunder or derail us or end up back down the rabbit hole, but I will say that all of our massively successful products have come from that. What if we took this model and we wanted to do it our own way? And that has been wildly successful from the inception of Heart, Soul, and Hustle. So for those of you listening, like, that is such a simple assignment that I just, like, go do it. Just go do it. Okay, so before we let you go, Corey, I will let you have the last word. What are you working on? What big things do you have coming up? And if we want to find out more about you and soak up all this artist awesomeness, where can we go to find more?
Yeah, I already mentioned theabundantartist.com. We have courses for learning how to sell art on Facebook, Instagram, and our big How to Sell Your Art Online flagship course, which has a 101, 201, and 301 for artists who are at the very beginning of their careers, all the way up to, you know, maybe making a six-figure income in their art business. And the big thing that we're working on right now is we're going to be announcing this week, I think right as this podcast goes live, we are partnering with some awesome curators from Kickstarter.com, as well as a handful of other people, to do a curated, crowdfunded art print project. We're going to select a small number, 5 to 10 artists from our community, go with them through the whole process of sourcing, how to get their art printed, how to get it shipped, how to get it funded using crowdfunding, and then how to deliver once the crowdfunding campaign is over. We are doing a whole project where we're going to go through that whole process with all those artists, document the whole thing, and then turn that into a course. So that's going to take the next several months as we go through picking the artists and then doing the crowdfunding campaign. But I'm super excited about it. All the details will be over on our blog at theabundantartist.com. And that's the big project we're working on next.
Awesome. Well, we will definitely link all that up in the show notes. But Corey, I just wanted to give you a big thank you so much for being on the show today. This has been an absolute pleasure, and I just cannot wait to see what the response is like.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me, Zach.
I think that was a pretty amazing interview. Now, before I go into the wrap up, I want to remind you that you can head over to heartsoulhustle.com/53. Again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/53 to get the show notes. We mentioned a few links during the show, so we'll make sure that those ones are there waiting for you. But I want to really remind you of a couple awesome things that we talked about in this episode. I was so excited for this because it's really more conceptual. I love to talk numbers. I love to get nitty gritty. But I think that really stepping back and talking about what makes us happy, what feeds our soul, what art are we happy putting out into the world? And I love that we got to talk a little bit and I got to share a little bit even, hopefully I didn't steal too much thunder, that not everything we do has to be capitalized with a dollar sign. Some things are better left as hobbies, and we have to go out and do the work of finding the audience and finding what serves them and finding what serves us. And that when you get out there and you find that happy medium between what feeds your soul and what feeds the world, all you have to do is do a little bit of marketing and you can really create something that makes everyone feel better. And so I just loved this interview. I loved talking about art. A lot of you guys don't know this, but I'm kind of an art nerd in my spare time, in my secret. I think that this is just such an awesome way to think about business. It's a different perspective with a lot of the same fundamentals. We've talked about the importance of telling your story, and we've talked about the importance of interacting with your audience, and we've talked about the importance of doing things that make you feel full. But to hear them from the side of an artist, I think is just such a unique perspective. I would encourage you to listen to this episode one more time if you really got something out of it. I think it's just all there. Tons of great content and a really unique perspective. So with that being said, I will leave you to have an amazing week. Go out there, be arty, have fun with it, and I'll see you next week on the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.